100 Word Stories. Good morning, everyone. This is Lawrence Simon of the 100 Word Stories podcast at oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. It's time for the weekly challenge where I post a topic and you come up with the story. Better get the treadmill started here. Beep, beep, beep this, beep that. You know, ever since I sprayed some of that lubricant into the inside of the belt, it's making some weird noises. I'm pretty sure that I'm using the right lubricant. At least I'm not using that giant barrel of lubricant that people keep talking about. Using this stuff, the 55-gallon drum? I don't have room for that. Maybe if you did, and you could bring over a cup of it now and then. I don't know. Right. The weekly challenge this week is on the topic of skeleton. A lot of skeletons came out of the closet this week. Let's see what's in John Musico's closet. I bet there's a skeleton. Let's find out. John Musico, get us started. Please.
Skeletons of Music and Poetry by John Musico. An iamb is a soft syllable followed by an accented syllable, the backbone of music and poetry. My youth was plagued by this baffling rhyme that would appear in my head. It could happen any time, when I was about to knock on a door, when a bird swooped down from above. My haunting iamb came in sets of four, a tetrameter. Da-dun, 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 da-dun. As in, come live with me and be my love, etc. Emily Dickens knew about this and got rich. I didn't know what it was, and I got a chronic ulcer.
Wait, hold on. Oh, man. I hit pause on the thing. Okay. Oh, thank you, John Musico. You see, what I do is I assemble these in Audacity, and then I double-click on the files that I've downloaded, all your stories, and sometimes they play in iTunes on the headset, sometimes they play on the speakers, sometimes just weird things happen. Welcome to the internal audio mixer of a MacBook Pro. Oh, coffee, Bailey's good. I ran out of Bailey's this morning. I got the last of the Baileys. Now I need to go to the store and get more Baileys. Like, that's so hard, right? Okay, let's keep going here and listen to Jeffrey. See what he's got this week.
Hello again, it's Jeffrey Fisher here with a couple of stories for week 443 on the topic of skeleton. My first story is called Planetfall. After nearly two centuries, the starship reached a habitable planet with 1,000 colonists in the hold, in stasis, waiting to be revived to start life anew. Life support on the control deck had long since failed, yet the ramjet system continued to scoop hydrogen into its fusion engine, propelling the ship toward its destination. Hull integrity was solid, and the computer banks, including the automatic pilot, hummed along. Only the 7 crew members had failed to survive the journey. Their bodies remained as they died, internal organs decaying and the flesh falling from bones. The computer initiated the reentry procedure, landed the ship, and released the colonists from stasis. When two of the colonists opened the compartment to the control deck, only to see the remains of the crew, one said to the other, "Boy, Mission Control wasn't kidding when they said they were sending us into space with only a skeleton crew." And my second story is called Yo-ho-ho and an MBA. Pirate interviews were held on Mondays when prospective pirates had to fight massive hangovers from the previous weekend while convincing the captain they were worthy of being in his scurvy crew. Today, the captain had his first mate along on interviews, thinking his second-in-command was likely senior management material and could have his own ship one day. One by one, sailors would walk confidently into the captain's office to begin the interview. Things often started well, but when the interviewee saw the two skeletons slumped in a corner, he would often start stammering, and the interview went downhill from there. During a lunch break, the first mate asked his captain why he displayed the skeletons. The captain replied, I learned that one in business school. It's my best motivational tool. Well, that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Oh, man. We should display a few skeletons up on the website and say, these are the people who were part of the weekly challenge before, but couldn't rise up to the challenge anymore. Now they're just bones. And add in that ah. Never mind. It's not Talk Like a Pirate Day. Thank you, Jeffrey. Let's move on to Richard and see what he's got up his... You thought I was going to say sleeve. Up his nose. Let's look up Richard's nose.
Good morning. Only two stories this week, because that's the way I roll. And if you don't like it, well, we can go outside and sort this out man to man. This is George, Part 74, Doctor's Orders. George looked again at his medical notes. Apparently he'd been under the care of Dr. Spencer. He left the ward, scanning the nameplates on the corridor doors until he found Spencer's office. Wrenching the door open, he screamed, before realizing the skeleton behind the desk was simply a model on a stand. Once his heartbeat had returned to normal, he turned his attention to the filing cabinets, rifling through them until he located a thin file bearing his name. Hanging his coat over the skeleton, he took a seat behind the desk and began reading the file's contents with interest. Here's my second story, Skeleton Keys. The thief showed me his impressive set of skeleton keys. With these, he smiled, I'm unstoppable. There's no door can stand in my way, and there's not a lock made that can defeat my skills. I wouldn't be so certain, I countered. I bet I can find a door that even your keys can't unlock. The thief laughed, unconvinced. We set a time and a place for the thief to prove me wrong. The door I'd chosen was unremarkable, and the thief, totally unimpressed, took out his keys. "Where's the keyhole, then?" he asked. "What keyhole?" I replied. And that's it. So if you've stepped outside for that fight, well, I'll be there shortly. And if you haven't, well, I'll speak to you next week if I survive. Until then, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard, for bringing the sassy to the game this week. I'll meet you outside, damn it. We need to settle this stuff with fisticuffs, or barstoolicuffs, or trouser cuffs, or I don't know. What? You can hear the clanking and the whatevers? Yeah, it's weird. Maybe there's a piece that's loose. Although, if I just step on the rails, you don't hear it. So, it's obviously from my feet stepping on the thing and something popping or whatever. As long as the damn thing works, you know? Because I looked at the maintenance contract on this thing. You don't want to know. Hey, I gotta carry this 140-pound piece of crap in to Utah. Might as well just buy another, which I probably will. Let's move up to Lady Blue is next. All right, let's hear what magic she will spin for us. Spin, magic, spin, and spin.
Hey, everyone. Blue here, and I just wanted to thank you for letting me participate in the weekly 100-word challenge. It's been a lot of fun, even though for this week I've had way too much coffee and way too little sleep. My story for this week is called Anatomically Correct. I can't tell if that's a rib or the baculum. Dude, if you can't figure it out, I don't think the public will either. You sure about that? Mrs. Clemens' third grade class burned me bad when we got those wings reversed on the butterfly exhibit. Seriously? I don't think a third grade class is going to know about a penis bone, do you? Maybe not. But perhaps the ninth grade classes would. Don't they take anatomy at that age? Or health? Or whatever? It's a badger skeleton. They don't study badgers in ninth grade. No one is gonna look. I would. Now that I've presented my story to you, please allow me to shamelessly plug my blog, which is linked to my name, and the talk that I will be giving at the Meeting of the Mind Sim this Tuesday, October 21st at 7 p.m. SLT. It is entitled, Using the F Word to Confront Gender Inequity, Evolution of the Word Feminist. I should remind people, this will be given in Second Life, and you can find more information about this talk at my blog, Virtuosity1111. Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and I will see you next week.
Thank you, Lady Blue. And don't knuckle under to those Gamergate trolls from those 5chan sites. The meanies, the bullies, the... What? Oh yeah, I'm a member, but still, what's the... Huh? Why are you coming to arrest me? Oh my god. Okay, I'd better hide under the treadmill here. Until you hear the all clear, perhaps I should play another story. How about Anima Zabaleta? Oh, wait, she won't cover for me. I don't know what to do.
Hey, folks. Anima here. This story is September 17th, 1964. Samantha, I have to tell you, I have fallen in love. Your eyes, green as emeralds. Your honey flaxen hair. That pert nose. And how you manage to keep such a clean house and cook such exquisite meals, I will never know. You are the complete package. Yes, your family is odd, but I am marrying you, not them. As he prattled on, Samantha's mind raced. What would Darren say if he ever found Mr. Bones in the closet and realized he dispensed advice and was a source of the mac and cheese recipe she passed off as her own? Thank you very much.
You are most welcome. So, I'm turning off the fan when I record these little bumpers, and I'm also unplugging the laptop from the line power because it messes up with the corded headset, and then I'm trying not to touch the table or any metal part so I'm not grounded. This is just all so crazy. But this is what you get when you allow yourself to become grossly fat and need to walk on a treadmill pretty much every waking hour. Also, my left ankle. I turned it while walking from the treadmill and over to the other room. Nearly broke my other arm. Yeah, but I iced it down, and it seems to be working for this morning. I got the laundry in and all that, but we'll see how long it holds up. I'm only going 1 mile an hour while doing this, so, yeah, it's always an adventure. You know who also it's always an adventure with? Tom. Let's listen to Tom. Together.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got four stories. The first story, keys. We call them skeleton keys, but at the time, people called them keys. Their design was to ensure alignment. By the 1880s, skeleton keys were becoming antiquated reminders of an age past, as 4- and 6-pin tumblers proliferated. The artist, Aubrey Beardsley, reworked the basic form of a skeleton key into a monogram for a book series called The Keynote, published by the legendary Bodley Head Press. I spent a summer scanning the skeleton keys from a copy of the complete works of Aubrey Beardsley, then built Victor wire frames. My skeleton keys are actually superior to Beardsley's. Story 2, The Sight. Oh, hell, said Rudy, staring incredulously into the bucket of the backhoe. Oh, fuck, said the foreman, turning the exposed bone over with a pen. Do we keep digging until we run into a full skeleton? The foreman closed down the construction and got on the phone to the Caltrans archaeologist. Dr. Schumann was the bane and boon of the state road system. He had equally cost and saved the state tens of thousands of dollars. Yep, that's a femur. Oh, about 1,000 years old. It turned out to be 50,000 years old. Rewrote the history of North America. Story 3. New Kid. Welcome to the League of Limited Superheroes. Your petition for inclusion has met our highest standards. Your training begins today. We welcome you to our band of brothers. Your orientation hero will be the most honorable Armadillo Man. A booming Texas accent and a vice-like handshake greeted the young lad. Bone snapped. Looks like our first stop is the infirmary to get those bones taken care of. Have you considered a proper superhero moniker? No, said the kid, gathering up the pieces of his hand from the floor. What's your power? Reassembling bones. How about Skeleton Boy? And a last story, continuation of a well-defined relationship, part 71. Elsid pulled out a portable PowerPoint sphere and shared the location of all his booby traps that surrounded the Tamburlaine. Oh, this one's my favorite. Right here in Skeleton Gulch, Germanium Quicksand. Wicked, said Sparky. At the end, everyone clapped and agreed that it was the best evil villain plan they had ever heard. I guess we'll have to rise to the challenge and come up with heroic ways to avoid your wonderful traps, said the doctor. My pleasure, said the bandit. And there you have it.
Let's get that turned. Okay. Hey, hi there. Oh, now it's working. Thank you, Tom. Although you'll never escape from my evil trap, this podcast, where I force you to write stories each and every week, along with me. Although, where are my stories? Oh, well. That's what makes it evil. Did I say thank you, Tom? Then I'll say thank you, Tom, again, just to be sure. Put that in your pocket. No, your other pocket. It'll bend like an iPhone 6. I thought about getting an iPhone 6. Work is giving out iPhone 6s, but only with 16 gig, and that just won't freaking cut it, and I'm not doing the cloud. No siree. I've got an iPhone 5 with 64 gig. They were offering up Galaxy 5s with, I could put like a 128 in there and fill it with all sorts of garbage, but then I'd have to learn the Android stuff. I'm an iPhone person. So what I'm going to do is just hold out with this 5, wait until all the glory passes, the prices go down, and then just get a 6 or what replaces the 6. Because this thing just seems to be working. Although the battery gets a little weird sometimes, I can last the day and I keep a backup with me. Although what I need to do is get a battery backup that has a cord built in, because you have to carry the battery backup and a cord. Just so stupid. You know what's smart? Zachman. He'll know what to do.
Suicidal Tendencies song, Waking the Dead, plays through the public address speakers of the Vincent Price, which starts me wondering if I really want to interview the captain slash necromancer, who seems to have too much sense of humor, or his three skeleton crew. Maybe find out which of the rumors are true about Red, Cinderella, and Eddie. Are they magic? Do they have to be wound with three skeleton keys? Are they robots? Are they alive? Do I really want to take Vincent Price's maiden voyage to the moon with the skeleton crew, even if the news company pays?
Thank you, Zachman. No, there's nothing to worry about. Everything's fine. Perfectly normal. Nothing weird going on. Although, Okay, so I've got this fan up here. I could probably get like a tornado fan at this point because I turn it off. What I need is one with a better switch. This one has a knob on the front, but it's been covered with that silicone goop that you use as the treadmill lubricant. Because I've done it, and then I wiped it off, and I said, oh, crap, I need some fresh air. So not only is there silicone goop on the thing, but I'm sure that it's sprayed all over my face, and I'm going to get cancer, which is why I should be on the treadmill. Although they can take the tumors out, that's weight loss, right? If anyone has experience with that, does that count? How many Weight Watchers points is chemotherapy? Okay, I'm just digging a hole here. Maybe I should just move things on to Muncie. What are we this month again? I think we're Halloweenies, right? It's so hard to keep track.
Greetings, Halloweenies. From Muncie, here at Halloween headquarters, having just discovered pumpkin spice beer. Pumpkin spice beer. Oh my zod, pumpkin spice beer. Y'all gonna make me lose my mind. Pumpkin beer, y'all gonna make me go all out. Pumpkin beer, y'all gonna make me act a fool. Pumpkin beer, y'all gonna make me lose my cool. Pumpkin beer. Anywho, here's a spooky story. Skeletons by Christopher Monroe. There's a skeleton on my t-shirt when I go to the bar. And another beneath my skin. The visible is stylized, white and red on black, to give a flash of color as I move through the night, a marker to show I'm there. The hidden is more utilitarian. It props me up, keeps me standing. It receives little credit, but I use it every day. Of the two, it's the first I'm known for, that people would recognize when they see me. But, in spite of this, the second is the more important. It allows me to be me. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at Munzee Munzee. That's it for me, Halloweenies. And now I leave you to think about your own skeletons, the secret skeletons each of you wear for Secret Halloween.
Wait, there's a secret Halloween? Like a secret Santa? Or a secret Valentine? Or a secret Arbor Day? Oh, those are the best secret Arbor Days, where you plant a tree in somebody's yard and then don't admit it, and they're going, where did you go put a tree here? Especially if that yard happens to be the 50-yard line of the, high school during the playoffs. And, yeah, we won't talk about that. Best April Fool's prank ever. How many April Fool's pranks do you know that take a backhoe? All right, well, let's keep going here. Thank you, Muncie, and hopefully your skeleton holds you true. The one on the outside, the inside, any skeleton you wish. Perhaps we should... I know, Chelsea. We could share her story at this point. Chelsea, what have you got going on? You thought I was going to say up your sleeve. You know, I've got short sleeves on. And they barely cover my arms. I'd get arrested, I think.
Skeleton by Chelsea. We all have them. Those things we do not share with the world. Those things that we hide because we are ashamed of them. Those skeletons in the closet. We tell ourselves that no one will want us. No one will love us if they knew about the things hidden away at the back of the closet. The thing that no one tells you is those things you've hidden away might be the very thing that helps the right person to love you. So let them out. You never know who might find you by just being yourself.
Oh, come on. We'd all love you anyway, I think. Thank you, Chelsea. Anyone who doesn't love her should go outside and fight with Richard. Richard, you're the enforcer. You're the goon of the podcast now. Get your big gloves on and let's just tussle. Is that the first time I've used tussle this week? I love the word tussle. It's an awesome word. What I haven't been using much recently is shampoo. I shaved my head again. Although I'm sure that you're supposed to use the shampoo. If it treats the scalp, then you're supposed to use... I don't understand this crap. this shampoo science. I never took it in college. I'm sure that it was covered at some point in the hygiene classes we were laughing at. He said, what? So, how about we move on to Spate? Yeah, Spate. Spate is back. After a brief spate, a respite. Respite. I don't know. Ooh, is that the ankle? I've been gone for 20 minutes here, and then before that I was doing 6 minutes, and then I realized I didn't have my phone with its timer. It's just, you gotta stay organized, people. And so, with the list on the side, I see number 10, Spate.
This one's called Skeletons in the Closet. Her life was not supposed to be for everyone to see on the television evening news. She feels naked, awkwardly standing silently as the charges are read. How could they understand what she couldn't understand herself? The way every man had used her and threw her away like the shit-filled diapers of their bastard babies that now litter the floor. The babies, now counting 8, too many for her 31 years. Babies crying and crying, endlessly crying. They can condemn her house and tear it down. Hell, they can condemn her. But they can't make that crying go away.
Discovery in Worcester County, the bodies of 3 babies. Good evening and welcome to 22 News at 11. I'm Barry Krieger. We begin with a gruesome story tonight. An arrest after the bodies of 3 infants were found today in a filthy, vermin-infested house in the central Massachusetts town of Blackstone.
Stuff, you should go over to Spate and then tussle with Richard and check out a lot of skeletons in closets. What if there was a wolfman in the closet, a zombie, a vampire, a Frankenstein? That would be a surprise, wouldn't it? I'm sure it would. Why don't skeletons hide under the bed or in the glove compartment or in the trunk? Or places you wouldn't expect them. It's always a skeleton in the closet. You know, my closet is full. You know, my skeleton is full of. Yeah, it's full of titanium. What my closet is full of? Crap that we don't want sitting around, or stuff that, well, it got out of fashion, but we didn't feel like throwing it out. You know, that phase between trash and treasure.
We sort of want to keep it, but I don't know. We could use this in a house.
Yeah, right. We're getting a house. Yeah, right. So, yeah. How about we move on to Serendipity before I just start bitching about things? Serendipity, please save me from myself.
Everyone has a skeleton or two in their closet. I have at least 7 or 8. I also have a body in the bath, slowly melting away in the acid, and another 2, chopped and waiting in the freezer. The cellar is stuffed full of skins, scalps and boxes full of bones. And you can't move in the loft for the numerous odds and ends of leftover body parts. The trouble is, I'm going to need a bigger house very soon. Not to worry. There's plenty of empty properties about. Strangely, my neighbors all keep disappearing.
I'm not Serendipity's neighbor. Wait, who's moving in? Oh, crap. It's Serendipity. I'll be locking the doors now. Thank you, Serendipity. The welcome wagon will be taking you away soon. Away. Far away. Whew, man. I know, it's only 1 mile an hour and such, but doing this podcast at the same time as walking and turning the fan on and off, getting cancerous silicone all over my hands. I should probably wipe that off, but I won't stop. I will not stop. Hold on. Okay, how about we just play Dionysus, or I'm going to stop right now.
Good morning. It's Dionysus Close with a story called Out on Highway 61. Me and Bob was like hiking south on 61 when this, like, car stopped for us with this big, like, knife thing tied on top, and the shotgun door opens, and this skeleton-looking dude says, "Get in," with this, like, "Fucking boys." I, like, dove in the back seat, and when I looked at Bob, he was giving me this look like the suicide seat, man. So, cruising along, I go, What kind of car is this, man? The skeleton guy goes, "Pinto." So I go, "Like the beans, man? You never run out of gas, huh?" Then I woke up here. You got any more of that painkiller?
Oh, man. I could use some of that painkiller myself. Thank you, Dionysus. Especially when I turned my ankle last night. Okay, so the power is plugged in again, so I could tell what the difference is between the sound quality. We'll find out when I look over this and then go, ooh, and then slip it back. You know, sound quality to me is very important. Not. After 9.5 years, I've learned not to give a crap. It's not like I'm going for public radio or going for a big deal or some kind of app or the limelight. I like limes, but who wants limelight? Now I'm going to unplug it, and we'll see if that changes the profile of the sound. And sure enough, it does. God, this is such a pain, really. All this quality stuff. How about I just hand it over to something I know is going to be quality, which is Norval Joe. How about you take over for a bit?
Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of flypaperboy.com, and this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 443, maybe, with the prompt of skeleton. Well, flypaperboy is still available at amazon.com, and you still have 2 weeks to get a review in and an entry into the Kindle Voyager giveaway. Well, here's my story for whatever prompt number this one is. Superconductor slipped from his chair, glided across the floor, and hovered over Durgle. "What deludes you to believe you have anything to offer my organization?" "Well, your organization seems a little undersized compared to your Wikipedia page." "Yes, we are, admittedly, down to something of a skeleton crew. We have had few applications to our order as of late." "It would help if you'd be a bit friendlier and not try to scare everyone away," Durgle said, scowling at Garbage Man. "We're villains. were evil. But your deduction is not without merit, Superconductor said, also glaring at Garbage Man. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Philip, I think those Taibo lessons are paying off. I'm sorry, I have no idea why I thought of Taibo. Oh, man. Thank you, Norval Joe, Philip, all those names, Durgle, Flypaperboy. You're like a constellation, a whole pantheon. Pantheon, that's what I was looking for. I'm losing words. Not that I use pantheon every day. I say baby panther, but not baby pantheon. Nope. Tinny is not sitting in the catbird spot. She's not sitting over there. She's probably in her mommy's chair, relaxing. And Mist is probably sleeping on her head. Okay, so I need to remember to get Tide Sport with Febreze and cilantro. No, I'm not going to mix the two together. This is not some new super drug. I just need cilantro for my salad. And then, oh, I need chickpeas as well. Shit. Okay, let me put that on the list. Might as well put it in draft pad because I don't want to use the grocery app. Chickpeas. There we go. I wish I had little mini cans of them because I use the big cans, and then I mix those with the corn, then the beans, and then they go bad by the time I use them all. Should just go to a salad bar and feel less wasteful. That's a tip for the ages. Here's another tip. Danny, your turn.
Well, hello, hello. Danny Dwyer here, and I'm back. Last week's challenge, well, I just didn't have anything, so I let it go. And I think that's a healthy thing. But this week's challenge, skeleton. I think it's weekly challenge 443. And, well, that one just kind of hit a nerve, and I want to tell a story about it. So this is my entry for this week's challenge, skeleton. You have until next Thursday. But unless you really wanted us not to release the skeleton in your closet, both we and the convicted criminal you represented should have received our letters begging for forgiveness last Tuesday, the magistrate said. I begged and pleaded with the magistrate that literally held my license in her hands to give me a second chance to represent the poor and oppressed. She blatantly said, no way. Die with the trash you represent. That's when I finally realized the skeleton was really in her closet. That's the lie we the American people live with every day. Yeah, that's my entry this week. And if you, the American people, don't see the lie, I pity you. Have a good day. And as always, from Danny Dwyer, have fun. Ha ha.
Ah, yes. He's our little ray of sunshine there, Danny Dwyer. Thank you, Danny, for showing us the lie that America is. I left it plugged in again. I'm going to learn one of these days. Oh, wait, the timer's about to go off for the laundry. Okay, I counted the shirts. I have 18 hangers that I need. How I managed to wear 18 shirts in 1 week, well, that's a mystery. But I could explain it. I've got the 5 shirts that I wear at work. They're undershirts, so I wear a shirt over them. That makes 10. And then the shirts that I wear when I do my little workouts, so that's another 5, so that's 15. And then, of course, 1 for the weekend. And then, well, okay, 2 for the weekend. And then the one I wake up for Sunday morning. You see? 18 shirts. I think that adds up. You'll have to check my math. No, I'm pretty sure. I'm confident. Don't check my math. To hell with you. Instead, let's move on to Tor Bergianu and get my 18 hangers.
Sir Thomas Beecham described the sound of the harpsichord as two skeletons copulating on a tin roof. But he lived long before the zombie plague. What do two skeletons copulating on a tin roof sound like? Equipment. One tin roof. A shotgun mic. An actual shotgun. And as bait, a ghetto blaster loaded with the harpsichord works of J.S. Bach. The bait drew the zombies out, rather too many, but they just stood there listening, like zombies. When the batteries ran out, though, I can report that an orgy of skeletons on a tin roof sounds nothing like an orchestra of harpsichords.
Thank you, Tura, for that lovely image of the harpsichord. Now I want to get a harpsichord. We don't have room for it, and you can't walk a mile on a harpsichord and get exercise. Although I'm sure that all that plucking is fine exercise, just not the kind of exercise I need. I get enough finger exercise with typing, enough so that I'm sure that I have arthritis by now. Speaking of exercise, how about we head over to where Lizzie is scrupulously writing? Is scrupulously the right word? I'm not sure. I couldn't remember Pantheon the other moment. You should check my vocabulary, but don't check my math. Stay the hell away from my math. It's my math, not yours. Although you're welcome to check Lizzie's math if you want to.
Peter hated his nickname, and he didn't understand why they called him Skeleton at school. In the eyes of everyone else, he couldn't care less about skulls, bones, or skeletons. He spent his days digging in his grandmother's backyard, where he found bones of many animals, yes, but the kids didn't know that. They most definitely didn't know about those bones his grandmother buried in the barn. Peter simply couldn't understand the other kids. The night was too warm, and he couldn't sleep. He got out of bed and went for a walk in the neighboring cemetery. He enjoyed the quietness. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I'll talk to you next week. Have a wonderful Sunday. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. Although there are people who don't listen to this on Sunday, hopefully they had a wonderful Sunday, and they're having a wonderful Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. But Thursday can suck it. They can have the worst Thursday they've ever had. And then a pretty good Friday and on to an awesome Saturday. But Thursday can suck it. Suck it Thursday. We should make that a meme. Actually, based on my stories, it practically is. Thank you, Lizzie, once again. And now we move on to the inevitable. That's right. Planet Z, bringing up the rear, anchoring this thing. Tug on that rope, Planet Z, and see what you get.
They say there are 206 bones in the typical adult human skeleton. You have to say adult because babies are born with more bones in the skull, but they fuse together over the first few years. You have to say typical because it's not nice to say normal anymore. People with extra fingers, extra toes, or damaged limbs feel awkward when you say they're not normal. And you especially need to say skeleton instead of body because some people eat the bones of others, especially finger bones from those whiny, damaged limbs people. But they're so damn tasty.
Thank you. And there you have it, a whole bunch of stories on the topic of skeleton. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge, whether you listened, sent in a story, recorded it, left a comment, passed it along through your various social networks. Now there's LO, so you can go LO yourself, and they don't, do they have likes? I don't know. A comment effectively is a like, because it got you to get off your fucking ass and respond. Yeah. So, anyway, next week's topic is doom. Yes, we are heading towards our doom, our collective doom. Ha ha ha. I will have more coffee. The last of the Baileys. Gotta go get some more. Thank you for being a part of the weekly challenge. I'll see you all next week. Until then, as always, keep it brief.